The two mitzvahs of Chag HaSukkos are very different in their geographical matrix or their geographical dynamic. The mitzvah of Dalet Minim is very deeply wedded to life in Israel, to the flora of Israel. These are all indigenous fruits, indigenous plants, and there's a long legacy of great and heroic attempts on the part of Jews from various non-Israel locations, especially when it wasn't the same climate that is Israel. So California roughly is the same climate, so you can find Dalet Minim. Morocco is easy to find Dalet Minim. But for so many hundreds of years, Jews lived in climates that were so distant from the climate of Israel, especially in northern Western Europe. It was very difficult to locate Esrogim, Lulavim. Obviously, Hadassim and Aravos were a bit easier, Aravos being the easiest to locate near any river. But it's clear that the experience of Dalet Minim is tethered experientially to life in Israel. In fact, some have even suggested that the four Minim represent the different locales on the way to Eretz Yisrael. So the Tamarim would evoke the shelter in the desert and the oases which they visited in the desert, as described in particular in Parshas B'Shalach, and the Tamarim, which are very preponderant there. And the Arvei Nachal would describe Arvos Moav and Arvos Yericho, where they were literally camped along the river of the Yarden, for Arvos HaYarden, for many weeks, entering Eretz Yisrael, receiving the Torah, planning their entry. And then they entered Eretz Yisrael and they came to forests, and Yeshua describes the forest land, the untilled, uncivilized land that they had to take from the pagan barbarians and had to civilize and till. So in forests you've got bushes and thickets which would be associated with Hadassim. And then finally they built their actual gardens and their palaces, so the Esrog became much more relevant. Either way, there's no question that the Dalet Minim are oriented very, very deeply towards life in Eretz Yisrael. Sukkah, the actual mitzvah of Sukkah, by definition, architecturally has little to do with Eretz Yisrael. It's just a shelter. And conceptually and symbolically, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the shelter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a universal, is an international, is a non-location-specific event. But yet, probably the most famous Sukkahs, or the one that's documented as the most famous, had deep roots within the experience of returning to Eretz Yisrael. And I'm referring to the Sukkos when they first returned from Babel after the 70-year exile, as described in Nehemiah Parakhas. Nehemiah had already described the gathering of the Jewish people on Rosh Hashanah, and I've given a shiur about this, the Rosh Hashanah upon the return from Eretz Yisrael. But now it's a couple of weeks later, and it's a Monday, so it's not clear. Maybe it's like this Monday. Maybe it's the Monday before Yom Kippur, a week before Sukkos. Vayom Hasheni, Nesfu Rashei Havos L'Cholam. Everyone's gathering to study Torah. Maybe it's the second day of Rosh Hashanah when they're reading from the Torah. This public reading that took place on the Rosh Hashanah of their return. And they're learning the Torah, and they come to Parshas Emor, and they read about the mitzvah, or the Chag of Sukkos, and in particular, the mitzvah Asher Yeshvu B'nei Yisrael Basukkos. I'm just paraphrasing from Nehemiah Parakhas. So they put out an edict amongst the entire nation of 40-plus thousand people that had returned. And this edict said, Tzu Hahar, go to the mountains. Perhaps traveling to the mountains was still dangerous. Life in Eretz Yisrael was still very threadbare and fragile, so they had to congregate in the cities for protection, so they were sent out to the mountains, dispatched to the mountains to locate the following four types of bushes: ale zayis, or trees, the branches of an olive wood tree, ale eitz shemen. It's hard to know what the difference between a zayis and an eitz shemen are. Ale hadas, hadasim, ale tamarim, lulavim, or the kapot tamarim, as we call them, these big fronds, the ale eitz avos, and large aravos, probably the larger ones that grow right near the river that are very tall and looming. So you'd think they're gathering Dalet Minim, and you'd think that the gathering of Dalet Minim would be iconic to mark their return to Eretz Yisrael, but no. Why these four different types of branches gathered? Lasot Sukkot, to construct the Sukkah Kakasov, as it had been written. Some discovery, building a Sukkah. Vayetzuam, so they went to the mountains, and they built Sukkot. And now there's a very, very careful description of the Sukkot they built. They built Sukkot on their roofs. It was the logical place. life was probably pretty cramped in ancient cities, so they didn't have an opportunity to build it on street level because there were houses that were towering above and the sukkah has to be under the open sky, so they built it on their roofs. That was the most logical place. The roofs were all flat. And in their courtyards. But then the description takes a very different turn. In the courtyards adjoining the Beis HaMikdash, Uver Chov Shar Hamayim, in the area right in front of the water depository, Uver Chov Shar Ephraim, near the gate of Shar Ephraim. So there's a public nature to this Chag of Sukkos. And then the Tanakh describes a very particular contingent of people who gained specific joy from this celebration. Vayasu Kol HaKahol, Hashavim Min HaShvi, everyone who came back from captivity. Now, it's not clear whether it's referring to the actual slaves who were released with the Jewish return to Yerushalayim, or that this should be taken non-literally. It's not the Shavim Min HaShvi, people who were captured or incarcerated as prisoners, but people who were historically imprisoned in Shushan, in Paras, in Bavel. But here's the interesting part of this pasuk. Listen, this is the provocative part, the intriguing part of the pasuk. Kilo aso mimei Yeshua ben Nun. Actually, Yeshua ben Nun. They hadn't performed this event since the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Adayom ahuvati simcha gedola. It's a great, great joy. The literal reading of the parsha suggests that they hadn't marked or celebrated Sukkot for 700 years since the days of Yeshua ben Nun. That's extremely difficult to imagine. This was the first time that they marked Sukkot in 700 years. Evidently, there's something about this form of celebration and this type of experience which was unique, which was notable, and which hadn't been expressed or achieved for 400 years. What made this sukkah so unique that it hadn't been achieved? Well, obviously there's a deep identification with entering the land and entering a Kadosh Baruch Hu's renewed protection after having been exposed to 70 years of randomness, vulnerability, especially the threat of genocide under Haman. And that sense of returning home and returning to a Kadosh Baruch Hu's shelter was evoked very powerfully by building a sukkah. So it's clear that there's a unique element to this sukkos, and that unique element parallels what the nation is experiencing collectively, and that's why the returnees from captivity or stress, especially assuming that we're referring to a particular contingent of people who suffered disproportionately during the 70 years who were in prison, were taking slaves, bondage, evidently of Nebuchadnezzar took 100,000 slaves, so they in particular felt the extended and renewed and the restored protection of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But that's still, and that was, of course, something which they identified and associated with the sukkah experience, but that would not account for the way the Tanakh describes this sukkah as the first sukkah in 700, 800 years. It's obviously something else, and I don't know, something else that's occurring. And the Malbim suggests, and the Chassam Sofer, I think, as well, that it's the public nature of the sukkahs. Sukkah and the mitzvah of sukkah, very interesting experience. On the one hand, there's a tendency for private sukkahs. First of all, because a sukkah is meant to be an extension of your home, so naturally people will build near their homes and build in a private fashion. And in fact, the privacy of a sukkah is inherent to the mitzvah. The mitzvah is teshuva kein tadiru, and if a person feels that their privacy will be compromised, then the mitzvah doesn't obtain. In fact, a chassan is pater from sitting in a sukkah because his need for privacy is even more acute, and that privacy can't be achieved, can't be secured in a sukkah, so he's actually patur from sitting in a sukkah. The Gemara says in sukkahs, in Masechta Sukkah, excuse me. On the other hand, there is a public nature to sukkah as a unifying force. The Torah describes the mitzvah of Kol Hezrach Yisrael Yeshu Basukos. Everyone will sit in the sukkah together. The Gemara says in sukkah, Melameid Shekol Yisrael Yoshu B'sukkah Achas, that at least halachically there has to be a scenario where everyone can sit in one sukkah, and there are significant consequences or connotations to that statement based on whether sukkah needs to be owned. In theory, if everyone sits in one sukkah, it's hard to imagine them all jointly owning the sukkah. So this could be a proof to a very interesting halacha question, whether the sukkah requires ownership in the same way that a lulav requires ownership. But aside from the halachic issue, it's very iconic because the sukkah suggests a Kadosh Baruch Hu shelter. and protection, both in the day-to-day as well as their sharp apocalyptic connotations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will build a sukkah b'achris hayamim and protect us, which is a pasuk in Zechariah, which is the Gemara in Sukkah quotes on that base. And I've spoken about the sukkah as an apocalyptic shelter. And I'll put a footnote or a link to the shiur. And we're no more united than when we feel vulnerable. There's a difference between the unity of the Dalet Minim, which is also a symbol of unity, taking different species. Some, the Medrash says, have fruits and aroma. Some have aroma and not fruits. Some have fruits and not aroma. Some have neither. And we create a bouquet. We create a spectrum. We create, as we like to use in our jargon today, a rainbow of different colors, of different people, of different strengths and weaknesses, and we create unity. But there's a deeper, more visceral unity when we feel a common thread and we lose our identity in the shelter of a sukkah. We feel the common protection of the Yad Hashem, and certainly in Eretz Yisrael, we feel that unity during times of crisis, which we don't even notice who the differences between people, but tolerate them or cultivate them for the sake of diversity. There's a reductive element of just being protected by the Yad Hashem. And for that to emerge and for that to be potent, the sukkahs have to be public and broad and grand and large. I'm taking a few minutes off of my very, very busy and tiring Erev Sukkahs to pre-record the shiur. I know a lot of people want the shiur on Erev Sukkahs. So I'm sitting and recording the shiur in the yeshiva. I took a few minutes off from my home. I was very busy building, running. So I felt I wanted a little bit of quiet. And we're making an event for the 50th anniversary of Yeshiva Har Tzion, expecting a few thousand people. So I'm looking at the sukkahs that they're building here. They're massive. They can house hundreds of people. You need a certain sovereignty, space, allowance, people willing to tolerate inconvenience that typically, not always, there could be large sukkahs outside of Eretz Yisrael, and certainly Baruch Hashem in many areas where Jews have achieved positions of influence, there's public approval and allowance for the construction of large-scale sukkahs. But typically, these types of sukkahs are only inconceivable in Eretz Yisrael. To build a sukkah on your roof, you could live in any location. You could live in Spain, you could live in San Francisco, and you can build a sukkah on your roof. But to build a large sukkah, b'chatzosehem uvechatzos beis elokim, in the beis hamikdash, or near the beis hamikdash, and in front of the water distribution port, v'chov sharamayim. Conceivably, that was the location that people frequented. And they frequented it to draw water. And now, their drawing of water would be slightly inconvenienced, but it was a public commons, and it was an area that was popular and well-known and well, probably well-developed. There were probably benches and seats and gardens, and that'd be the best place to build a sukkah for convenience and for beauty. That type of ideal, logistically, is only feasible in Eretz Yisrael. And of course, iconically, it only makes sense in Eretz Yisrael where we gather together. And Baruch Hashem, in today's situation in Eretz Yisrael, we're starting to see more and more of these huge, sprawling sukkot. And Baruch Hashem, sukkah is a mitzvah which many Jews in Eretz Yisrael, even those who aren't classically, traditionally religious and orthodox, very excited about because of the symbolism, because of the unity, because of the connection to nature, in some ways more so than the Dalet Minim, even though Dalet Minim is also evocative of nature, but Dalet Minim is a little bit more of a tircha, a little more ritualistic. To them, it seems a little bit more ancient. Whereas the concept of a sukkah and a shelter is a enduring symbol of the human efforts to achieve shelter and protection, especially in Eretz Yisrael. So you're seeing on beaches and hotels and municipalities is huge, huge sukkot, which to me is very reflective and reminiscent of the sukkot in the days of Nehemiah, which were not just logistically larger to house more people, but conveyed that formative sense of returning to Eretz Yisrael, creating a unity that transcends the unity of Dalet Minim. Sadly enough, many of the Jews who returned with Ezra and Nehemiah to Babel were not the most pedigreed. He had to actually filter them. Asara yochsen alu im Ezra mi Babel. He had to create some filtration because all types of riffraff returned. But it was certainly a chance to reconnect with that community feel that had been eviscerated or effaced when they were in Chutz La'aretz and they lived and experienced the mitzvah of Sukkot in a very individual and solitary fashion. And I think that this is resonant today, and it's reflective of some of the differences. Again, not to say that all Sukkot and Chutz La'aretz are private Sukkot and quiet Sukkot, but there is a sense that
For example, people feel that by building a sukkah, they're exposed to anti-Semitic acts, and every year in sukkah, there were a couple of anti-Semitic acts. I know when I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, there was a clear sense that the Jews were vulnerable the nights of sukkahs, and the police had to beef up their presence so that people wouldn't be attacked in their sukkah. For that reason, many, many people in Chutz Lartz do not sleep in a sukkah, even though the primary mitzvah is to sleep in a sukkah. And there's a collectivism and a communally element and a freedom and a unity and that Eretz Yisrael uniquely offers. And I think they were celebrating that by building large-scale sukkot. It wasn't just the massive architectural project to build the sukkot, but where they were located. I think also the dispatching of the people to the mountains. Perhaps, again, I don't have any historical documentation to this, but perhaps created that sense of being protected. They can now walk through the mountains more freely without fearing attack by little pockets of resistance that still existed. And also to locate some of the flora of Eretz Yisrael that they hadn't been familiar with. I mean, I know that as an immigrant to Eretz Yisrael, I'm less familiar with the geography and topography, the different species, the flowers, the birds. And my children are far more familiar, and I enjoy going on tealing with them and seeing how deeply embedded they are in our land, not just in an ideological way, what our land stands for as a homeland, but in a real visceral fashion, knowing the various plants and birds and rocks and terrains and mountain ranges and water lines, which I really don't know that well. And this was an expedition for them to become familiar with the various trees that were unique to Eretz Yisrael, or that Eretz Yisrael was known for, the Shemen trees, that's a Zayat, that's a Shemen, the Dasim, which probably they had elsewhere, but the Alei Tamarim was certainly very unique and indigenous to Eretz Yisrael. So I think that although the mitzvah of Sukkah seems to be geographically independent, this most famous celebration of Sukkah, the mitzvah of Sukkah and the Chag of Sukkos, exploited the return to Eretz Yisrael, the freedom, the collectivism, the unity, and the public nature of this sukkah, which took place about 2,400 years ago. Chag Sameach.